All right, Psalms chapter 2 here. We're going to read this quickly, and then I'm going to bring you a message called "The God of the Bible Destroys Nations for Abominations. Is America next?" It's a good question to ask. If you look through the scriptures, you will see that God does destroy nations. He raises them up and he brings them down, right? And we are not in some special situation to where we can just get away with any kind of sin that we want to in this country and expect that God's judgment is going to pass over us, that we're not going to be judged by God in this country. We are going to be judged by God. We are being judged by God right now, I believe. And, you know, the fullness of that judgment will come sooner or later. But the Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Who's he talking about? The kings of the earth. He's talking about bringing them down. God, the God of the Bible destroys nations. He brings them down.
Amen.
He does do that. We need to understand who the God of the Bible is today. That's the problem today. Most people don't understand who the God of the Bible is at all. Their God is a fairy tale, not the one found in the scriptures. "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings." Look at this. "Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." What is he talking about? He's talking about the leaders of nations. He's talking about the nations. He's talking about judging the nations. There's other verses. I'm going to give you a lot of them, actually. But he's talking about judging the nations. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear." Amen. "And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, with this. I pray that this truth would be driven home to our hearts, that we would understand it, Lord, that it'd be a warning that America's in trouble because the God of the Bible destroys nations for their abominations. And I believe America is next. Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray repentance come to the people of God in this nation. I pray a turning to righteousness would come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to read you a little bit here from God Betrayed, Brother Finney's book. All right. And the reason I want to do that is because he really illustrates well the God of the Bible and how he deals with nations. He explains it. There's going to be some scriptures here to give you too as well. I put in all the references for the scriptures here so you can turn there and we'll be able to do that. But I may go kind of fast through some of them because there's a lot of scriptures I have here for you, okay? So, but he says this. He says, "The Bible, especially in the Old Testament, deals extensively with nations and shows that God ordained nations, that he is over every nation. God's hierarchy of law is over every nation. I don't care if a nation thinks that they don't have to submit to God or not. He is still over them."
Amen.
He's still, listen, God's law always trumps man's law.
Right.
Any form of government.
Amen.
Just like in your family, God's law trumps your law.
Right?
Right? We have to submit to God's law. He is over every nation, but that he gives every nation a temporary choice of whether to submit itself to the sovereign God. God gives nations the choice whether they will submit or not, whether their government will have a government that will honor God and his principles that he laid down in his word. Now, we're not talking about the second table of the law that enforces a between man and his worship to God. No, we're talking about man and his relationship, government to his relationship to man as far as the first table of the law goes. The protection of life, liberty, and property, the protection of the right to worship God, the right, the freedoms and the liberties that God set down in his government and he has ordained. All right? That's what we're talking about. Man's relationship with man. how he deals with them. If you legislate unrighteousness and wickedness, then the God of the Bible is against you. Do you understand that? And what do we have a nation today of that is legislated wickedness? Absolute wickedness. I get some people get upset with me because they say, well, I think there's some really good people in Congress, and they're really trying to do good, and they're really trying to do right. Sure they are. Keep telling yourself that. Because it's so inevitable, you can see it, that it's not true. If it was, they won't even make it to the dance. That's how it works. You won't even make it to the front door. That's right. If you do make it to the front door, you'll get a bullet in your head. Yep. That's right. All right. So the following verses, among many others, prove that God is over all nations and wishes each nation to choose to glorify him. Yeah, man has a choice. God has always given man a choice. He has given man a choice. He's given their governments a choice whether they will honor God or whether they will dishonor God. And then if they dishonor God, then judgment follows. God judges the nations. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 8 says this: when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. What did God do? He set the bounds, right? He set the nations. That's what he did. And he gave them their inheritance. He gave them their inheritance. But the Most High, it says, divided to the nations. He did that. God does that work. Psalm 2 says, like we just read, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Better serve the Lord with fear. God gives them that choice, whether they will. And when a nation has, God has blessed them greatly. But when they haven't, judgment came upon them. Swift judgment. By the way, we're not talking about a theocracy here, okay? We're not talking. Israel was the only God-ordained theocracy. We're not talking about a theocracy. We are talking about obeying principles of government that God laid down in the scriptures for all nations. Not just Israel. Israel was a theocracy and separate. They could enforce the second table of the law as well, in many cases. Psalms 19, verse number 17. Psalms 9, verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Pretty easy one to understand there, isn't it? And all the nations that forget God. So what do we have in America today? Well, I would say we have a nation that's forgot God. I would say there's some Christians here, yes, but I would say there are more pagans here, and there are more wicked people here. And by the way, the wicked beareth rule in America today, that's for sure. Psalm 11:13, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 100, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Well, he wasn't just talking about Israel, was he? No, he said all the lands. He said all of this world, all of the nations, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God says he wants all the lands to serve him, all the nations to serve him. Psalm 113, verse number 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. God is high above all nations. God reigns supreme above all nations. You see, you'll stop worrying and being so scared about Obama and everybody else if you start to understand who's really in charge of everything. Amen. If you start to understand that God Almighty is in charge up there, and whatever these puny leaders think they're going to do, God's going to crush them one day. Amen. This little white elite structure, this New World Order structure, these Jesuits, these Masons, all of them, God Almighty is above all of them, and he will crush them. Amen. He will put them under his feet. He will destroy them one day. Amen. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness. When's the last time you've seen something actually legislated that was for righteousness' sake? Think about that. When you think about all these Christians in Congress, just think about that. You know, I'm so tired of seeing all these fundamental Baptists try to schmooze these leaders and go in and pray with them and do all this other. Listen, nothing wrong with praying for them. I pray for them, okay? I pray for this nation. I pray for the police. I pray for everybody. All in authority, like the Bible says. But you know what? To go in there and try to get them to be on your side and like lobby them and do all this other stuff, it stinks is what it does. Yeah, they need preaching. You know the best thing you could do with Congress? Preach outside of it. That's the best thing you could do. Call them wicked devils to repentance. Why? Because the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Any people, any nation, sin is a reproach to them. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. These sins that are against nature today, homosexuality and all the wickedness that abounds in this nation. By the way, pedophilia, bestiality on the way. Like David Miller was talking last night, we were having a conversation with him, and he was talking about how at that gay pride event, they were dressing up as animals and stuff like that. He said they were dressing. What is that? What's the outcome of that? Well, you know what the outcome of that is. That's what happens in Leviticus chapter 18. I'm going to show you that today, too. And that's why America, like I've preached something similar to this before, but this is a little bit different of a perspective. I preached a message called America's Cursed, you know, but that's a little bit different. A wise king scattereth, though, the Bible says, and bringeth the wheel over them. The wicked scattereth the wicked. What do we do today in America? Promote wickedness. Legislate wickedness. Legislate evil. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. I understand it's dealing with the king, but it's also the principles are there for rulers to be merciful. Amen? Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 25. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. You know how many wicked people that lobby and that are paying these politicians off today in America? Big companies like corporations like Monsanto and other corporations like that that are absolutely paying these people to legislate wickedness, to poison people, to do all manner of wickedness against them, genetically modify everything and all kinds of stuff. They're paying them to do it. Take the wicked away from them. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I think the wicked beareth rule today. What do you think? It's pretty obvious. Isaiah chapter 40. Turn there. Verse number 15. I'll be reading some different verses all the way through that chapter, so you can turn there. And we'll be reading a few different ones, so kind of pay attention there. From 15 to 24, I'll be reading different verses. But Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. I know, America with its military and its army and everything else thinks it's pretty big, doesn't it? Well, what does God call them? You're a drop in the bucket. Just a drop. Amen. Too much pride today. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Verse number 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Huh? All nations are counted as nothing. Vanity. Verse number 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Uh-oh. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as the tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. I know. The Supreme Court's going to legislate against God, right? All these justices and these judges and these wicked rulers, they're going to all legislate against God. And guess what? God's just going to disappear, isn't he? Because some judge said something, right? And this book is just going to disappear, right? Because some judge tries to legislate something, right? So the God of the Bible is just going to be afraid. He's going to go away, right? And his power is going to leave. No, on the contrary, all you've done is brought judgment upon yourself and this nation. Is what you've done. God says he counts the judges of the earth as vanity. Verse number 24, yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Amen. God is strong in power. He is over the nations. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 28. But thou, Jeremiah, shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Wow, just walk down the street, right? Just preach the word of God to these people. They receive not correction, right? They won't receive correction. These rulers of this nation won't receive correction either, will they? Why is that? Because they're wicked. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 7 through 9. Here's what God says about nations, and pay attention closely. By the way, this isn't just for the Old Testament, like some people think. This is just the Old Testament. No, it's for all of us. God, listen, there are principles in the Old Testament that apply forever, right? Here's one. God said he would put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Is that a principle that lasts all the way through? You see what I mean? God said that, right? That's what he said. Lucifer was evil in the Old Testament. He was Satan, and look what he did. And he was brought, and he'll be brought down low. All those principles still apply. The principles. No, we understand some of the ceremonial laws. Those things don't apply to us. Right? We get that. We know who they were given to. And we know they broke the covenant and couldn't keep it. Right? But the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 7 through 9, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. How about that? Now that's a principle that is still in place today, isn't it? Because we've seen nations over time that did good and God blessed them and God destroyed them. Nineveh was one of them. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, but you know what? 150 years later it went into apostasy and God destroyed them. Right? Why? Because the God of the Bible destroys nations, that's why. He said, God said, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom. He said, I can pluck it up and I can pull it down. I can destroy it. I'll destroy it. If they don't turn from their evil way. God's still interested in nations today. I know some people don't believe that, but he is. God's still interested in how nations treat what they do, if they honor him or not. Amen? America in its founding, even though there were Jesuits and Masons and all kinds of other things going on, America in its founding was still honoring to God. Why do you think it was blessed so much? Why do you think it didn't turn out to be France and their revolution? Thank God. Right. Now, Brother Finney goes on to say, Paul speaking to those at Lystra who would have worshipped Paul and Barnabas because Paul healed the impotent man on his first missionary journey, said this, and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Now pay attention to this. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. What was Paul saying here? Well, Paul's on Mars Hill and he's telling them that they're first of all, they're worshiping him. They need to stop doing that. But he tells them that the nations, he said, God suffered all the nations walking their way, but now God doesn't want that. God wants them to repent. He suffered it, but he wants them to repent. He wants them to fall in line and honor him. Paul said in his sermon on Mars Hill that God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Amen. Bible also says, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Obviously, civil government still exists and still has responsibility under God to rule for him. But he still gives every civil government a choice of whether to go by his or Satan's principles. The civil magistrate ought to, here's one quote that was, I believe Isaac Backus said this. The civil magistrate ought to cherish as a foster father the Lord Jesus in his truth, in his saints, to cleave unto them himself, and to countenance them even to death, yea, also to break the teeth of the lions who offer civil violence and injury unto them. What's he talking about? Liberty of conscience. He's talking about every nation ought to defend liberty of conscience. Amen. They should. Sadly, civil governments do not choose, at least for any significant period of time, to be under God, to guide their actions by his principles. No, for a short time they do that, don't they? Every nations that have prospered for a short time, they honored God. And then after that, what they do? Turn their back on God. Patrick Henry said this, who led the fight in Virginia against ratifying the Constitution. He was a great defender of the Baptists, by the way, who were persecuted in Virginia. Even though he was in favor of a state church, he was wrong about that. But he did. I know it's kind of hard to understand how he would defend the Baptists, right? But he did. He did. That's right. God used, and he was an able defender of them too, by the way. I actually went to the. I was at the gravesite of one of these men that, or no, his property. Patrick Henry didn't know, he actually got one of these Baptist men out of jail and got him off, and he didn't even know. And this Baptist didn't know that Patrick Henry did that, and he actually lived right next to him, and they actually crossed paths and ended up fellowshipping with each other because, you know, they remembered 20 years ago. He's, oh, yeah, I got you out of jail one time, you know, because those men were abused in jail in the Virginia. When I get into the Baptist battle for liberty, when I get into the history of the Virginia Baptists, I'll talk about all those guys in succession. Every single one of those independent, those men, I mean what they did. And it's unheard of today. But he said this, where are your checks in this government? He wouldn't ratify the Constitution, by the way, because there were no checks, he said. Your strongholds will be in the hands of your enemies. It is on the supposition that your American governors shall be honest, that all the good qualities of this government are founded. But its defective and imperfect construction puts it in their power to perpetrate the worst of mischiefs, should they be bad men. And, sir, would not all the world from the eastern to the western hemispheres blame our distracted folly in resting our rights upon the contingency of our rulers being good or bad? Show me that age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men without a consequent loss of liberty. That's why he wanted the amendments in there. He said, no. He said, if you let these guys go, he said, you're just depending on people in the future are going to be like the men that are here right now, and that they're going to honor that, and you won't be persecuted. But that's not true. So he wouldn't ratify the Constitution. God has also given to the Gentile civil governments freedom of choice. And many scriptures illustrate that God wanted Gentile civil governments to recognize him as who he is. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 11, God said this, "And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord." God wanted the Moab nation, the Moabite nation, to understand that God, the God of the Bible, is Lord. So he punished them. The Ammonites, there was punishment for them. The Edomites, the Philistines, many of the Magog, the heathen. Solomon, in his blessing after dedicating the temple, he said this, that all people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. He wanted all the nations, that all the people of the earth should know. Why? Well, they ought to know that the God of the Bible is going to judge them, so they ought to know about the God of the Bible, because he is the one that's going to judge them. He is the one. America today is ignorant. The people of America today are very ignorant of the God of the Bible. They don't know him. If you just go out and street preach a little bit, and you just talk to people, they don't know who the God of the Bible is. They'll all run around and say Merry Christmas to you and everything else. They don't know anything about the God of the Bible. They do not know who he is at all, period. But they're being judged, and they're going to be judged further by this God of the Bible. Yeah. David said within his last words, he said this, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." No matter what you do, whether you're a father in your home, you must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. Whether a pastor, ruling in the office of a bishop, you must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. Amen? A legislator must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. Amen. "And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." To Nebuchadnezzar it was said this, "They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Yes, do you hear that? That's what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he did to me. He said, until he knows that the Most High ruleth over men. Listen, God's going to humble these guys. Don't ever forget that. And by the way, when Satan's done using these guys, they usually turn into nothing. Mm-hmm. And God lets them just wallow in that and destroy them. But see, God told Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, I used you. You were my tool. I used you to go into Israel, and I used you to scatter Israel, and I used you to take over the world. What was it said about Nebuchadnezzar? He was what? He was a head of gold, right? Why? Because he was the strongest government in the world at that time. He ruled pretty much most of the world. And he did it under the power of God, because God gave him that power. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Right? He used Nebuchadnezzar to go in there and do that. But guess what? Nebuchadnezzar went a little bit too far, didn't he? What did God do? God judged him and turned him into an animal, and he was eaten on the ground. Either the watchers turned him into an animal. I can't figure out who did that exactly. Because I know God, it was God, but it says they. And then there's some other things that are kind of interesting. But anyway, there was something going on there that we don't quite understand all of it. But anyway, suffice it to say, God had it done. Amen? What does it say here? It says, "So it happened, and so Nebuchadnezzar then, after being restored to his kingship, extolled and honored the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways judgment." He recognizing that those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. Amen? It's a good lesson for us all to learn. But God cares about nations. God judges nations. God destroys them. "So Nebuchadnezzar came to be called the servant of Jehovah. God judged King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, because he did not humble his heart, and he lifted up himself with pride against the Lord of heaven, and he had not glorified God, in whose hand Belshazzar's breath was, and whose were all his ways, knowing what God had done to his father." How about Darius, King Darius, after seeing what God miraculously delivered Daniel when he was thrown into the den of the lions, he decreed this, "that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel." For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Did God use other kings and other governments? Yes, he did. Cyrus chose to serve God. The Bible says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. How about God sending Jonah to cry against the Gentile city of Nineveh? For their wickedness had come up before him. After Jonah went through the city of Nineveh, crying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. By the way, that's all he said pretty much. You know, that, how effective do you think that really is? I'm just curious. People walk up to you and they say, now, Brother Paul, how effective do you really think that is? Well, Jonah just walked through the city and told them all that God's going to overthrow the city. Yeah, it is, exactly. As effective as a stick of dynamite. He just walked through the city and he said, well, you're all going to die. God's going to destroy all of you. I mean, we had a lady last night, well, what do you think? I mean, you really think that's going to help people to tell them about hell? She said she was a Christian. She said, you think it's going to really help people to tell them about hell? I mean, Jesus did. Yeah, well, first you said Jesus did, and I was like, oh, no, yes, he did. and I quoted a few things to her. Yeah, that's right. And you know, she was just like, well, how effective is that? You know, really, what's people going to think when they hear that? I don't know, because I'll tell you one thing right now. All he did was preach judgment. He went through, and the whole city had, the whole nation had revival, right? And what did he do? He preached judgment all the way through. Go cry against that city. Tell them judgment is coming, that God's going to destroy them. You know, our message is not a whole lot different today. Obviously, we can point them to the cross after we're done, which is a glorious thing. But you know what? They need to know that judgment is coming. This nation needs to understand that judgment is coming. All this fake facade of Christmas and all this other stuff that goes on, it does nothing, but all it does is deaden the minds of people. It numbs them to any truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not have a positive effect on their spiritual walk or on their understanding or their desire. No, it doesn't do it. It's hypocrisy. It doesn't do anything. To the good, anyway. That's right. Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And God saw their good works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Well, that's a nation, right? That was a whole nation, wasn't it? Unfortunately, more than a century later, Nahum delivered an unrelieved warning of judgment because Nineveh had fallen back into moral awfulness. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. According to a man named Diodorus in the history, the city was destroyed nearly a century later, precisely as predicted by Nahum. Thus God wishes each civil government to choose to rule for his glory under his precepts. That is, to establish free will for every individual while ruling under biblical principles, but not to enforce God's rules concerning man's relationship with God, just as Belshazzar was without excuse in that he saw what God had done to his father. Likewise, rulers and civil governments today are without excuse in that the word of God is available today for all to read and to know God's principles and his ways. Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 30, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. That sounds like God hates something. Right? God abhors. That's detestable hate. Right? Yeah, that's right. Now he said in Jeremiah again, chapter 18, verse number 7, I'll read this to you. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. See, people have a problem with God repenting. They don't understand. Well, first of all, you are a sinner, okay? All right? God is not a sinner. God is holy. So when God repents, first of all, when God changes his mind about something or turns from something, some judgment that he was going to, it's because man has obeyed the precepts that he laid down and he doesn't have to inflict the judgment upon them. But God intrinsically does not change. That's why the Bible says he is immutable. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Right? God intrinsically, who he is, he never changes. He is always the same, yesterday, today, forever. However, he does repent of the evil that he was going to do to them. By the way, evil is not always sin. That's where people don't understand Bible, because evil is not always sin. In fact, God says he sends evil, right? And it's not sin. God sends evil to judge. So evil is not always sin. God sends the evil, and then he repents of the evil if they obey. So different than your children, right? If you give them instructions and they violate, then they are going to be judged for their violation, right? If they turn from their violation and they do right, then what happens? Then they're blessed, right? And they don't receive that, right? Makes sense? I mean, it's simple. That's right, he does. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I think America's in that place right now, friend. I really do. Which brings me to the next section here where we really get down to it. I'm just giving you some things. Let's look at the evidence if God abhors nations. If God is angry with America. Amen? Does God hate America? Is he angry with it? Absolutely he is. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18. By the way, these principles are not just for Israel, they're for all men. All nations. This is the moral law of God. This is the holy moral law of God. Who, by the way, created marriage, who created the institute of marriage. He has the right to say how your family is ran, how you run your family. He has a right to tell you that. Why? Because he created it. That's why. He is God over all, blessed forever. Amen? That's right. He's the potter. That's right. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. I mean, you've got today in America, which is very sick, and believe me, I'm not going to go into any details, but in America today, you can see on news reports right now, people marrying their father. 17-year-old girls marrying their father. Said that, the father was like estranged from them, and they met, and they had this passion that came over them. And they loved each other, and they ended up getting married. Fornicating or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something, friend. Here's what that was, okay? That is a young girl needing a father, and that is a father that is a wicked, sick predator.
Yep. Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
That's what that is. And he turned that normal fatherly affection that's supposed to be a godly affection, turned into that. Yeah. It's wicked. The Bible says you're not to uncover that. That's fornication and also nakedness. Amen. Put some clothes on. Amen. Yeah. I am the Lord. God said, I am the Lord. Amen. How about that? That's like the period to the sentence there. A very strong one, isn't it?
Right.
He says, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Amen. Talking about incest. Also talking about the principle of keeping your clothes on.
Amen.
Stay covered. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. What happened there in Israel in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in Corinth? That's what happened. He uncovered his father's nakedness, right? He was sleeping with his mother, his father's wife, right? Which is not lawful, the Bible says. Amen? Right. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. I mean, all these things you can see in America today, friend. Yeah. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. He said, you're sinning against your own soul. Say, this isn't a problem in America, is it? Oh, you better believe it is. Friend, you don't even understand how bad incest and things like that go on in this country today. It is absolutely wicked. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. So don't try to marry your aunt. Right? What is God saying? You're not of the heathens. Don't act like them. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Amen? Thou shalt not uncover... By the way, there's a lot of this weird stuff going on today where these people are just like marrying their nieces and nephews and all these other things going on. All this stuff is happening in America. Why? Because there's no moral standard. Because they've forgotten the God of the Bible. And all the nations shall be turned into hell that turn their back on God. And that is what's happening in this nation today. Right now as we speak. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister. Right? Plurality of marriages right today, this polygamy. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister. By the way, that polygamy is making a strong comeback in America today. What do you think was going to happen when the Supreme Court and every other government and every other state government legalizes homosexuality and homosexual marriage? What did you think when they legislate immorality? What did you think was going to happen? Well, the polygamists are going to say, hey, listen, if they can marry that, I can marry two wives. I could have two or three wives. Right, exactly. That's right. The Bible says, neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her. Do we have any examples of them being vexed? Yeah, how about Rebecca and, Leah, is it? Leah, yeah, Rebecca and Leah. How about the vexation that took place there? Right. How would you like to be in competition with your sister over your husband? Think about that for a second. Think about that. Yeah. A competition. Right. And thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart from her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. What does the Bible says? In the end times, they'd be like a bunch of horses that are neighing after their neighbor's wife. Right? That's what he said. Neighing after their neighbor's wife. Right? Not satisfied being at home. Not satisfied with their family. But going out and causing trouble in other families. That's right. Barnyard morality. That's right. What is the Lord dealing with here that we see here? He's dealing with sexual immorality, fornication, adultery in a nation. And God says that he hates it. Who can deny that this is a nation of absolute abominations and fornication? Who can deny that? Yeah, look at it. Everywhere you go, abominations everywhere. Yep. Legislated now. Legislating abominations everywhere. Uncovering nakedness, by the way, we talk about that, has more than one meaning. But we have people in America today, by the way, that can't keep their clothes on. That is a real problem.
Yeah.
It is a sign of a really devil-possessed society when you walk around and people are, they have to walk around naked. I mean, you know it's really, listen, you got to really have devils in you if you walk around when it's 30 degrees out and I've got Under Armour on and coats on and gloves on and hats on and I'm freezing, man. I'm just standing there freezing. And you see these girls run out and they are literally biblically naked in front of you standing there. It's like you got to have a devil in you to dress like that when it's this cold. Because how could you do it? By the way, God hates fornication and sexual sins, and he judges nations for them. And God is dealing with incest and marrying of the father, the daughter, here as we see in these chapters. We see in America, though, everything is going to be legal. You understand that? Everything is going to be legal in this country. They are going to legalize bestiality in this country. It will be legal. Because they're going to try to say that it's a right. They are going to say that it is a right to do. So they are going to legalize it. Mm-hmm. There's already people trying to marry their dog and their parrot and their cat. Yeah, I know it's weird. I don't know. You got to have devils in you to do that, right? I mean, I want to marry my cat today. Wow. We're in trouble, folks. The God of the Bible judges nations, and he destroys them, and America's next. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Well, how about this? How about you got a nation today that sheds innocent blood and burns these babies and butchers these? Hey, people go to, they take those babies or those bodies to burn them. Right? You know they burn all those babies, don't you? They go to an incinerator and they burn them. Yeah, they heated one place with the bodies. Yeah, they're better because they burn them here. I think they have the higher ground here, the higher morality here. Listen, folks, if you can't see this has turned into Babylon, your eyes aren't open spiritually. I don't know how anybody can understand, get out there on the streets and preach, and then look at this nation and see what's going on in this nation, read this book, and hold up their flag and wave it and say, God bless America. Why should he?
Yeah, amen.
Why should he? Why would he? How about it? We let the seed pass through the fire to Moloch. We have legislated the murder of over 60 million babies in America alone, not to mention what we pay for overseas. And we think that we actually believe that you can say God bless America after every dictating president gets up there, every dictator of a president gets up there and has a speech and says, and God bless America. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and then he gets up there in front of Planned Parenthood and says, God bless Planned Parenthood. God bless them. Yeah, it's nothing more than sacrificing babies to Moloch. That's right. Sins against children, destroying the babies in the womb. These hands that shed innocent blood. Our nation has put a stamp of approval on it. Our nation, listen, let me ask you a question. We have a Republican-controlled, this is for all you people out there, all my good, fun critics out there that think America is great and wonderful and everything like that. Well, we have a Republican Congress and a Senate, okay? Now, let me help you out with something. They actually have to sit around and try to lobby enough votes to try to stop. And they still didn't do it, by the way. They wouldn't do it. Boehner, that crying Republican sissy. Don't talk like that. The guy cries over everything. He just stands there and starts bawling like a baby. I think Nancy Pelosi beats him up. That's seriously what I think. It has to happen. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, they get up there, and what don't they do? They can't even defund Planned Parenthood? Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you telling me that you can't get up there as the Speaker of the House with all the votes of Republicans and all the votes that you have and all this stuff that you got going on, and you're telling me you bums can't even do that? It's because they're working for them. They're all working. And by the way, just so you understand this, you that are listening out there that have a problem with me talking about government, it's wicked as hell. Okay? Let me make it real clear for you. And I'm not backing off. I'm not apologizing. I don't think they're good people. I don't think they're trying to do right. I think they mean to do evil. I think they're wicked. I think they work for the New World Order. And I think they would sell you down the river and have sold you down the river. And they're going to try to come for you one day. That's what I think they're going to do. Let's make it plain and clear. I got to make my stance very clear so people understand that, you know, what I believe the truth about that is. Because, listen to me, would you break out of the fairy tale mode and stop thinking that you can vote somebody in that's going to do something different? I had to do it, folks. I had to break out of it and say, you know what? It ain't happening, man. It's not happening. Why? Because if they're worth anything, they're either going to be dead or they're going to be powerless and bought off when they get there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because it's not going to do any good. It's not. It's just the way it is, folks. Our nation sanctions the sacrificing of babies to Mother Earth. Hey, witches have admitted that at their own abortion clinics. They've talked about the sacrifices. Hey, you sacrifice to your God, I sacrifice to mine. Right? Oh, come on, you don't really believe that, do you? Yes, I absolutely believe it. Go outside of a Planned Parenthood. Man, the place is swarming with witches. I mean, they work there. Right? And ones that walk by and give you the finger and flick you off and call you names and get mad at you and say, that's a lady's right. No, you don't have a right to kill human life. You don't have, that's not a right. That's not a right. But in America it is. In America, if it's a small enough child, you can kill it. But God bless America. Wave your little flag. Right? We're here, friend. This country is under the judgment of God right now. Okay, what else did God say about nations in Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Uh-oh. Well, strike two, I guess you could say right there, right? I mean, we already have that, man. We've got that on mainstream. And they got all of America to accept it. All they had to do was throw in some funny queers. Oh, I said that. In Hollywood, that's all they had to do is throw them in there. Throw some sodomites on there to dance and laugh for you. So you could dance and laugh and have a good time and you could be entertained by them. And that's all they had to do to sell you on it. And now half these people, you know what? I've talked to some people that they grew up in church and everything like that, and their children are sodomites. I wonder if it's because a preacher didn't get up and condemn it and call it what it was and preach on it and tell them it's without natural affection and tell them it's wicked and tell them God hates it and God's going to destroy America for it, because God is going to destroy America for it. The first strike was fornication. The second strike is homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that's right. Thou shalt not. By the way, I'm going to preach a sermon soon called "The Days of Lot." I'm going to stop. I'm not going to tell you any more about it, but I'm going to preach about that sometime soon. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Well, this is approved by the state now. State sanctioned abominations, right? State sanctioned abominations. Now that we have in America, we have state sanctioned abominations here. What else did God say? Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Well, that's all that's left to openly come out in support of that. And I don't see how they're not going to be able to, or they're not going to, because they've already opened the door that marriage is not between a man and a woman. And once you say that, once you do that, then marriage is between a man and a monkey or whatever else you like. You just have to like it enough. If enough people like it, you can marry Donkey Kong. That's how it's going to work. Or King Kong, whichever you choose. That's the way it's going to go. And what are we going to see? Destruction of this nation like we're seeing now. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 23. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out. Now listen, I want you to turn there. Leviticus 20, verse number 23. Yep. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 23. God said this, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you." Why? He said, "For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." Yeah, God said, you know what, all these nations that were before you? What? I mean, did you think God just made these laws up because nothing was going on? He just was bored one day and he said, okay, well, thou shalt not lie with mankind, with womankind. Okay, there you go. See? No, he did it because all of these wicked nations were doing the same things. They were all full of bestiality, homosexuality, incest, neighing after their neighbor's wife, and every other thing else. They didn't honor God and his principles at all. And when a nation stops honoring God and his principles, judgment is coming. And God is going to destroy them. That's right. They did see all that in Egypt. So God says these nations that committed all these sins, he hated them. He abhorred them. Why shouldn't God abhor America? Why shouldn't God hate America? The land of fruits, nuts, and fornicators. Why shouldn't God hate it? Why should God love America today? You tell me why. Where does America as a nation honor God any longer? To kick him out of schools, to kick the Bible out of schools, to set up institutions, to war against his church and everything else, and you expect to war against the First Amendment, try to shut down? There's only one thing left, folks. As soon as they shut up all the First Amendment, the prophets, then it's over. Then the destruction is coming in like a whirlwind. When they start slaying the prophets in the streets, then destruction comes in like a whirlwind. Our nation is doing everything it can to bring on the judgment of God. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Turn there, please, if you can find it. Garrett don't know where it's at. He's looking. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I'm checking the index, man. I'm checking it twice. Man, what page number is that again?
Turn in your Schofield Bible to page.
I'm sorry. I listen to a lot of those sermons, brother. So, Hosea chapter 4. It's next to Hezekiah chapter 3. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. How about it? Huh? Listen to this closely. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Sound like a blueprint of America today? Sure does. Swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, bloodshed in the streets. Psalms chapter 9, verse number 17, the Bible says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. Listen, you see a blueprint very openly here of what God is going to do to this nation, unless there's repentance here. Verse number 20 says this in Psalms chapter 9, but put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. God destroys nations. He destroyed Nineveh 100 years after they repented but fell back in idolatry. He judged Egypt many times over. He judged Babylon. After he used them to destroy Israel, he destroyed the Philistines as well. God has destroyed nations, and he abhors them for their wicked sins. He said, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. The God of the Bible does bring judgment. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Listen. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Yeah, God doesn't hate. Just a few things, right? But God does hate, and he has a judgment. A perfect hatred, that's right. But what did God tell us to do? He said, imagine, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. What do we have today, this imagining of evil constantly? It's coming to the times of Noah, right? When every thought of their hearts was only evil continually. We have a nation, by the way, of liars today. Just go to the streets and you'll see it, from the police to the people. They just openly lie to you and lie about you right to your face. They lie as easy as they do to get up in the morning. That's how easy they lie. Probably easier, actually. Some of those people probably don't get up in the morning. But they're liars. We are a nation of liars today. It's all they do is lie. And they will lie about you. None calleth for justice today. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 3. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Why? Because he sinned against God. They turned their back on God. That's why. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 16. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. He's talking about dealing treacherously with the wife of thy youth. He's talking about those that sin against their wife or their youth. Those that abuse divorce. Those that abuse that. I mean, today you got people that they sign prenuptial agreements knowing that they're going to get a divorce pretty much. They're giving themselves a way out. Right? And we understand that divorce, there is a such thing as a biblical divorce in the Bible. But God was saying the whole nation was full of people that all they wanted to do was just get out of their marriage. Right. Exactly. The wicked shall be turned into hell. We talked about that, in all the nations that forget God. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Now, I want to finish up with Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1 to show you this. When a nation does not judge evil, they are unjust, wicked rulers. Because God laid down in Romans chapter 13 that nations were to what? They were to judge evil. They were to deal with evil. And they were to protect that which is right or good. That's what good government does. That's what government that honors God does. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Look what it says here. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. What do we have today in America? The opposite, right? Rulers are a terror to good works. Right. And what do they promote? Evil. The Bible says, when they do judge evil, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise at the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute judgment upon him that doeth evil. That's what police are for. That's what civil government is for, is to put down evil. What does American government do today? What are we seeing in America today? Lifting up evil. Lifting up everything that God hates. That's what this nation does. So let me ask you, how long is it going to take before God brings his full judgment upon this nation? Do we not deserve it? What did God say about that? He said, if I speak as concerning a nation, if they'll repent, then I'll repent from the evil which I was going to do to them. But we don't see that in America today, do we? There's too much pride. America has the same pride as Sodom. Right? The same pride as Sodom. Where is it going to lead? The same place it led Sodom. To destruction. God has not promised America will be here. right? God said he would judge the nations and he would destroy them. God wishes all nations would follow him. That is his. That is what God wants. And if they don't, they have the free will. Absolutely, they have the free will to follow him or not. But they will be judged when they don't. America was blessed for a long time. But when we started legislating evil and wickedness, judgment is coming upon America. Because the God of the Bible destroys nations. And we have no guarantee how much time we have left. And all I can say to that is that repent, for judgment is coming. Our message needs to be sharp. Our message needs to be fierce when it comes to that. We need to warn people that God is going to destroy this nation. God is going to destroy this nation. Do you think that God of the Bible is going to put down Sodom and Gomorrah and put down every other nation and Nineveh and everything else, but God is going to spare this wicked, fornicating abomination of a nation of America today? That God's just going to overlook all of our sin? Why? Because there's some Christians here? No. There were some in other nations too that God destroyed. God pulled them out and then dropped it like a bad habit. And that's exactly what's going to happen to America. God's going to destroy this nation. Why? Because they've turned their back on everything that is truth and righteousness and are legislating the most wicked things in this world. And are the promoter of more wicked, and they publish it and put it everywhere. Just take a look at the drug scene, the Hollywood scene, and everything else. We pump and push more pharmaceutical drugs, more Hollywood trash, more occultism, and more wickedness than any nation on this earth. And judgment is coming. Why do we think here in this nation, why do Christians think for some reason that they have the moral high ground in this nation? Why would we ever think as a nation that we have the right to go bomb some other nation for killing their own citizens when we murder 4 million of them a year?
Yeah. Yep.
But we think we have the moral high ground to go bomb Iraq? Can't kill your own people enough, your own innocent life enough, you got to go kill other people's? Well, that's not very popular to talk about, is it? But ISIS, you know, they're evil. Wow, would you start analyzing what America has done across this world? Start to look at it, and then you'll start to lose that idea of a moral high ground, and you will cry out, God, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Not even God bless us. God, have mercy on us. Walking around with their pride and their flags and everything else and pledging allegiance to that and all of those other things. Why? Why? No, we need a repentance in America. That's what we need. We're in trouble. More than we realize, we're in trouble in this nation. God is going to bring judgment upon this nation. And you and I, we need to be out there warning as many people as we possibly can that judgment is coming. Because it is. And God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But judgment is on its way. Ask yourself, are you right with God? Do you know people that are wrong with God? Do you know people that they're living this American dream, so to speak, but they don't even realize what's going on? Their eyes are so shut to what's going on around them. They're so naive that God's wrath and judgment is coming. You think that you can sin? People walk around and they say, oh, he's a loving God. Don't forget about grace, one guy told me. Grace, grace, as we're preaching the gospel. Grace, grace. I said, come back and have a conversation. Don't be a drive-by theologian. Just come on back and have a conversation. Let's talk about grace. They don't do it. Why? Because they can't. They can't defend their position. None of them can. They don't defend their position. Why? Because there's no defense for it. Just like there's no defense for this wicked nation. There's no defense for a wicked Congress that had a Republican Congress, a Republican Senate, a Republican Supreme Court, a Republican president, and never did anything about abortion. But got a bunch of money from everybody to do something about it and never did anything about it. See what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. And the Patriot Act. Right. Yeah. Folks, if you start to see this, how it really is, then you lose this illusion, and then you'll stop having American pride, and you will humble yourself and beg God for mercy for this nation. And stop thinking we're better than other nations. We are not better. We are one of the worst. Definitely. And all do it in the name of God, right? How good do you think it is to go bomb other nations that have borders, that God set the borders for in other nations, and you just go bomb them and kill their children and do all those other things? You think that's biblical? You think God, you think that's a just war? Is it a just war? Is it a just war to go out and to topple governments and to place dictators in? And when those dictators get out of hand and turn on us, then we turn on them and we blow them up and then we kill them and then we poison them and do all these other things? You think that's biblical? And you don't think God's going to judge the bloody city? Huh? You don't think God's going to judge the bloody city? America has a lot of blood. A lot of blood. This nation has a lot of blood. And you know what? The Bible says that God said that because of that, the land would reject, would vomit out its inhabitants. There's coming a day of judgment on this nation. I know it's not very popular to say it, but there is. Pray. Live for God. And preach the word and tell the truth before it's too late for people. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Pray you bless us now, Lord, and help us to take it to heart. Help others that hear it to take it to heart as well, Lord. Lord, please use this in the life of your people. And Lord, bless the fellowship and the food that we're about to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.